Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, today is a story from Paul Finkelstein.
I just moved down to Florida. It was actually 1996. I don't know anybody here except for my grandmother and my mom. I didn't even know my workmates either yet because I didn't have a job yet. I actually, at that time, just started looking for work and found a job with Dean Witter, which became Morgan Stanley. I no longer since then work for them, but my first place that I worked in Florida was in Lighthouse Point, Florida. I never heard of Lighthouse Point, Florida until that job interview. Now, I'm not the kind of person, besides work, that usually likes to meet people at quote-unquote bars. And just at that time, in 1996, this little company called AOL started doing online dating. And at that time, being a techie kind of a person, you could type into the AOL search bar, love, and then the at sign, and then AOL. And then a pop-up window within the AOL service at that time before things started to become web-based later on. When that pop-up came up, it actually looks like probably what Match.com looks like today, since Match.com purchased AOL's online dating service. When I went to Love at AOL, I would look for those people that I was interested in meeting. Of course, it was females for me. Between this age, that interest, this career. And lo and behold, after about several weeks, I started to get what you would call that knocking sound. Well, like that, when you signed on to the AOL service. I went on several dates because of AOL. Maybe 10, 20, 30 different dates. And finally, I had this one date. We decided to meet at Denny's, 10 o'clock, on a Saturday morning in Boca Raton by the Kmart parking lot, just off of I-95, April 18, 1998. I did take some notes along the way, and that's why it is actually still fresh in my mind. At Denny's, I did not know what she looked like. She did not know what I looked like. I'm sitting down ahead of time. I got there first. I was sitting at a table, and then in walks this young lady in a lime green dress. And she just walked straight in, looked to the left, looked to the right, and she still wasn't sure if it was me or not. So, of course, I waved. This was at the time that they had non-smoking sections at Denny's. Now, of course, since then, they don't have that. They also don't have the most expensive cup of coffee, which was some hazelnut cup of coffee with whipped cream, the works, the cherry, etc. Sarah's favorite cup of coffee. That's what she wanted, so that's what she got. The most expensive cup of coffee you could buy at Denny's. This encounter led us to more laughs and more laughs and more discussion. With that in mind, she actually had this pen that said 1-900-DIAL-BEN on it. So I figured Franklin Templeton, a mutual fund company, I guessed that she was in the financial world and career, as well as I was in the financial career. She was at a bank, I was at a brokerage. We had things to talk about and things in common. That pen came apart in the middle of our discussions, like we're talking now, and the spring inside the pen shot three tables over into somebody's salad. Of course, I right away ran over to that person's table and said, I assure you that that is my spring in your salad. It didn't come from the kitchen. I didn't want to swallow it. And Sarah thought I was funny. And what better way to impress a girl or whoever your date is than to make them laugh? And so she thought I was funny. After that meeting, we went for walks on the beach almost every day for a solid week in Deerfield Beach, pretty close to where I worked and not too far from where she worked and lived as well. After that week, she actually got into a discussion with a friend whether she should continue to talk to me anymore because through email, things tend to get not as personal. So because of that, she said, not to be impersonal, but I'm not sure if you're sincere enough for me, and let's not talk anymore and no more emails back and forth. What did Paul do? I guess Paul's a little persistent, and he sent $75 worth of flowers because it was the most expensive that this local florist had that was on display at the spur of the moment. And as soon as I went to order the flowers, I thought, wait a second, I don't even know where to send these flowers. So I thought right away, okay, we were having a cup of coffee together. She's in Boca. She's in the finance field. In our discussion, she mentioned WAMU. I thought, oh, I don't really know what WAMU is, but I memorized stock symbols, so I thought maybe it's a stock symbol. I looked it up. It was Washington Mutual, which, of course, since then is Chase. I did not chase her, so to speak, but I did send her those flowers, picked the right branch, found where she was working. Looks like I was stalking, but I guess you would call that, in today's terms, intense research. She received those flowers. Of course, you know what the flowers did when any girl sees these $75 worth of yay high flowers that took up her entire desk. I got a date that night right away, and we've been married. Well, this year will be 19 years.
Paul Finkelstein with a story about finding love in the digital age.
Actually, the very beginning of the digital age. That's one of the things that's so fun about this story. Love at AOL. Nobody talks about that anymore. It's on Match.com, Tinder, or something else.
It's so funny because it's current technology, but it's old already.
Yeah, it's old already. I also love, he mentions WAMU, the bank, but it's not WAMU anymore. It's Chase. He mentions a non-smoking section at Denny's. We haven't seen those in a while. A little company called AOL, which it kind of was then. And my favorite, that the most expensive flowers in the whole place that he could find were $75, which really was impressive 22 years ago.
It's encouraging, though, to see someone be so persistent and do it 20 or 30 times before they get a response.
I think this is a story, and I don't want to take this to the level of obsession, but this is a story about a person who is highly motivated. He even says himself, he makes a little joke, says it was like I didn't want to come off like a stalker, but she wasn't going along with the program. So instead of just saying, oh, well, got to come up with another plan, he did something else, a little bit drastic, but very lovely, buying those flowers, and then not knowing where she was, where she lived, and figuring it out from the clues. It's a story about love, certainly, and really falling for somebody. And I love the way he describes the lime green dress. She had him at the lime green dress, to coin a phrase.
He did recognize he was on the verge of stalking. So you kind of hope the $75 worth of flowers was the last stands he was going to take.
We almost get this sense. He talks about himself in one place in the third person. What did Paul do? Instead of what did I do, or just I did whatever it was that he did. When people talk about themselves in the third person, there's this kind of separation of yourself from the entity that is you. Kind of you're watching yourself. So it's almost like Paul is watching himself. I mean, he's looking back. A story is in the past tense, right? So he's looking back at himself 22 years. But it's almost like he's marveling along with us in a nice way. And this is a very charmingly told story.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a South Florida story they would like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archived stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks very much, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.